welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the Earn Your Happy podcast, and today I am thrilled to interview Kirsten Brown, editor-in-chief of Strong Fitness Magazine. And on today's episode, you're going to learn what it's like to be editor-in-chief of a fitness magazine, her journey to getting where she is, and how she manages the crazy deadlines that come with it, what it's like behind the scenes, and also for any of you who are interested in getting in the fitness industry, whether it is fitness modeling or writing, submitting articles, she's going to share exactly what magazines are looking for. And she has a very special offer at the end for all of you who are listening in today. So let's get started. Kirsten, thank you so much for being on. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you, Lori. I'm so excited to be on this podcast. I've been listening to it, and I think you're an incredible interviewer. The caliber of women you've had as guests has been amazing. I've really enjoyed them, so I'm honored to be among them.
Yay. Well, you're one of my favorite people that I've gotten to work with. So I know that there's going to be so many women out there who are probably dying to talk to you and hear from you. So I'm the lucky one who gets to ask the questions. So hopefully I can ask all of the questions that you guys want to hear. So I want to jump right into that. And I really want to know about how you got to be editor-in-chief of Strong Fitness Magazine, because you and I met quite a few years ago, but I want you to take us back to a place before any of this happened. I think that you were just writing, but why don't you just tell me about that?
Sure. So I am a little bit of an unlikely person for this job, I think, in terms of, you know, I have never competed in fitness. I'm not a personal trainer. I do enjoy being active. I have a background in journalism, but just to go back in time a little bit, after graduating from university with my journalism degree, I was struggling to find work. And I had always been overweight in high school and university. And I was working a whole bunch of freelance jobs and part-time jobs. And that's when I was slowly starting to get into just working out. And I didn't really know what I was doing. And I was trying workouts from different magazines and online and, you know, running forever on the treadmill. Mm. And slowly the weight started to come off. And then sort of serendipitously, I applied for a job at Oxygen Magazine, which many people don't know was run out of a city near Toronto for the entirety of its life. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting a job there sort of at the bottom of the totem pole as a fact checker. And I think part of what helped me land that job was that I was starting to become passionate about exercise and what it was doing for my body and my lifestyle. And I think that kind of helped me get my foot in the door there. So I ended up being there for 4 years. I worked my way up from fact checker to assistant editor, and eventually to the nutrition editor. And I sort of just fell in love with the industry. I was in awe by competitors, by bodybuilders, Nicole Wilkins, you know, even the men like Kai Green, and just totally fascinated by it. So I was really absorbed in the culture there. And also my Oxygen family, the women I worked with, you know, we sort of shared in this lifestyle. And it was really amazing time. And then, you know, a few years ago, the publisher, Robert Kennedy, an icon and legend in the fitness industry, he passed away. And shortly after, the magazine and the company went bankrupt. and years later was sold to an American company in California and has since been reborn. But back then in 2014, I found myself out of a job, or sorry, 2013, excuse me, found myself out of a job. And the very next day, you know, I was still sort of heartbroken at the loss of this job that I loved and the coworkers. I got a phone call from Paul Buscetta, whom you know very well, and some people out there may have heard of. He's an iconic photographer in the fitness industry and was chief photographer at Oxygen for many, many years. And he said, hey, you know, I'm out of a job, you're out of a job. Do you want to start something up? And it was literally within 24 hours of, you know, losing my previous job. And that's kind of where it all began. Just a few years ago, myself and my coworker, Aaron Lutz, who had also worked at Oxygen, and Paul, we sat down and said, let's start something. And, you know, a few months later, Strong Fitness Magazine was born.
Amazing. I'll never forget that. Actually, I remember the exact day that I had heard it. It was like all these text messages going around from like all these different fitness people. Like, I can't believe Oxygen is over. Where do we go? What do we do? Because there just wasn't a lot out there. That was kind of, you know, the magazine that if you were really into, you know, working out hard or clean eating or just inspirational things, that was kind of like the Bible for us. So, and I actually, I so remember one of the first emails I got from you because you were so kind through email. Literally, I was like, I love this girl and I've never, I don't think I've actually met her in person yet. So, I felt an instant connection. I remember the next email I got, you had a different title. I was like, oh, moving on up, sister friend. Good job. Awesome. And then after that, I was like, whoa, okay. Very cool. But anyway, I love hearing that. I want to know what it really, what did it, I mean, that is so scary. You go from getting this great or having this great position, this great career where you're so excited. You probably dreamt about your future with that magazine and really thinking of where it could go to not having, what did that feel like? Did you have a couple days where it was like devastating or you freaked out?
Yeah, it was devastating, and not just when it happened, but sort of, you know, the months leading up to the bankruptcy, you could feel that something was wrong. And people were being let go, some people had quit, so there was sort of this, it really sort of put a dark cloud over my last few months there, and I knew something was coming, but I wasn't really prepared to leave, I wasn't prepared to let go. So yeah, it was really scary, and I was still sort of mourning the loss of that job when we started this job. But at the same time, it was such a bright opportunity for me to grasp, because I know that sort of near the end of my time at Oxygen, many of us on the staff, we started to sense the shift in fitness and the entire sort of evolution that I think fitness was going through or was starting to go through at that very time. And It felt almost like this is our chance to do something really different and make the magazine that, like, we know in our hearts needs to be made. It's something that I think women were looking for, because, like I said, the fitness industry was shifting and it wasn't quite so cut and dry. It wasn't just, you know, like six meals a day and, you know, chest day Monday, back day Tuesday, and competing and that kind of thing. It was starting to include obstacle course races and kickboxing and CrossFit was a huge, long distance running, you know, rope training, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not necessarily sure that we were still speaking to that audience or that we were able to reach them, at Oxygen. And we wanted to have that conversation with those women through an entirely different magazine. And I think, It was really an exciting time to put this magazine together and be able to reach them. And when we came up with the name Strong, it was like, it was magic. I knew that this was the new path for me. And I'm just so grateful for it.
Oh my God. Okay. So I love, love, love hearing that, because that's what this magazine has become for me, because you know, as a fitness person who was really involved with the other magazine and the other idea of training, it's like I have evolved so much in my own fitness routine. And I see that with so many of my friends, so many of the women in my life, especially as I've gotten older and moved to a different location in California, where everybody's really into just doing what they love and being outdoors and just following what they feel in that moment. And I love that, you know, I want to talk more about that. Like the magazine really portrays all sorts of, there's a million roads to Rome, right? So it's choosing which one works for you. And it's okay if that is different. And if this one girl in the magazine is doing something, you don't necessarily have to do that. You can check out another person in the magazine doing something else. So I was just flipping through the last issue and it's so diverse. So where do you, when you're trying to come up with different things or portray different people or different content, when you guys sit around and try to come up with that, where does it come from?
I think just looking around, it's everywhere. I mean, fitness really is everywhere. And you just, I mean, it's at the, you go to the gym and you see the way other women are working out. You're seeing the way people are interacting on social media, what they're getting excited about. You know, I remember a few years ago walking down the street and seeing like six pack abs on a Nike mannequin and knowing that things had changed. And I try to keep those things in mind when we're planning the issue. I mean, you can't be everything to everyone, mm-hmm. but we still try very hard to, like you said, include a diverse range of, you know, body types and women and their backgrounds and their athleticism. So I guess we're really just trying to stay on trend, but also, you know, look for new things. Maybe what's going to be the next trend?
I love that. So, okay. I always like to read all the different comments about, you know, in all different fitness magazines about how people felt about maybe a cover model or something on the inside. And I think it's so interesting how, you know, you're putting out amazing content, amazing information, really trying to show the diversity. And yet there's always people who seem to maybe not like one thing or not like the, that you went with a certain body shape, or maybe it's not inspirational, or maybe it's too much, or maybe their abs are too much. How do you guys, what is the general thought around, you know, how you handle that? Because you're trying, it's really challenging to please everyone, right? As a magazine. So what do you guys always stick to, or how do you confront that?
I mean, there really is no way to confront it. I think you have to have a thick skin about it. And that's not just true in the publishing industry, which can be very cruel. But I mean, with social media now, everybody has a screen and a keyboard to hide behind. And it's almost like they're just sitting there waiting for an opportunity to criticize. It's so difficult to get, you know, lots of people love the magazine, but they don't necessarily write in to tell us that. But it's when one person is unhappy with something that they can't wait to jump on their computer and email you about how unhappy they are about that one small thing, you know, among 100 pages of excellent, well-researched content that we've worked so hard to put out there. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that you just have to have a thick skin because you can't please everybody. We try our best. And those people, you just kind of brush them off and you know that there's no way to please them.
So brilliant, because for anyone listening, you know, it's the same for if they're trying to put out something creatively, if they're starting something new, if they're taking on a new challenge, if they're going to a new class or trying a new workout, it's like, it's what you focus on, right? Because there will always be those people who are critical, and the ones who are critical are just scared. So it's, what are you focusing on? So, you know, is it that one comment that was critical, or is it the 99 that were great? And we have to remember too, as people, to tell people when they're great, write in when it's great. So those are the things that are just, you know, that it's our focus for everything. So Kirsten,
and it's not that we don't appreciate critical or constructive criticism.
Totally.
And sometimes that does turn into something very thought-provoking, where I might try to approach a topic or even the way I write an exercise differently. I mean, I read every single letter we get, which is probably less than you would think, but I do. I read everything, and the ones where somebody has actually taken the time to construct, you know, an email that is thought-provoking, I do take those to heart. It's the ones that are just sort of lashing out on, and, you know, whether it's body shaming someone or they're upset because we used a woman with breast implants. Those are the kinds of comments that I've just learned to let go.
Yes. And some of the constructive criticism is the best. And even though it's not, even when they're good, they're not always easy to read, but those are the game changers. They truly are. I try to do that after events. And I know that you guys do that after a lot of your stuff. And it's like, those are the things that make you go, okay, well, you know, I didn't see it that way. And thank you. I'm just one person, or we're just a team up here, you know, trying to get out the best things to you. So that's really beautiful. So if you guys, you know, have something that's interesting, that's how you get the message across. It's just really trying to be thorough in how you feel as well. So, you know, I really want to know, as editor in chief of a fitness magazine, people don't realize how crazy. So to a lot of people, you know, you're living a dream job. This is kind of the pivotal. This is what everybody wants, is to, you know, if you're in journalism or you're writing or you're working with a magazine, you're kind of at the top of where people want to be. So I want to look at that. I want to look at what that life looks like and what it takes to really be, you know, you guys have a lot of deadlines. What does your life look like? How do you manage that?
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, I know how fortunate I am to have this opportunity to create a magazine that I truly love, a product that I 100% believe in and I hope is making a difference. But having said that, it's so much more than a magazine. I mean, it really is a startup company, and anyone out there who has worked with a startup knows that it is not easy. It is painstaking. It is, I mean, sometimes just 24/7, it's anxiety. It's all those things, right? So it is very difficult at times. And I mean, we're in our third year, which is incredible. You know, every time another issue comes out, I almost laugh, because I know there was a time when I didn't think that we would see our 16th issue, which is what we're working on right now. in fact, I remember when we were putting the first issue together, I can remember, you know, people that I knew that knew me well, and they didn't think it had a shot. So I know how lucky we are to have gone this far. But yeah, it's very stressful at times. You know, to be honest, it has taken its toll in the past. And there was a time, like, I don't have children. That's a choice I've made. And this was my baby. Mm-hmm. And I was putting everything into it. So, you know, I went through the time where, you know, I'd be up all night obsessing about it in my mind, and then I'd get up super early and I'd start working on something, and then I'd go to the office, work all day, come home and continue working. And to an extent, that is what sometimes, you know, achieving a huge goal takes a certain amount of dedication and hard work and sacrifice and absolutely sleepless nights. But there is a point where, you know, that starts to take its toll on your health and your well-being, and you start to become almost the opposite of the message you're trying to put out there, which is wellness at the end of the day. So there was a point where I had to sort of stop and take a look at my stress levels and, you know, my health, and say, whoa, okay, check yourself, because it's not always the best idea to put your entire self into something, because then eventually you might not be able to be there for, you know, the people that count on you, your coworkers, the product. So yeah, it is crazy. Sorry, tangent. It is crazy at times, but sometimes that's part of the fun, like traveling to LA for a photo shoot, or being on set with you, like when you came here, that was amazing. I mean, you kind of just have to go with the flow and take everything in stride, and just really, at the end of the day, take care of yourself.
We talk about that a lot on here. I love that you said that, because there is like this effort period of making things happen. There's an effort and surrender, right? And sometimes we absolutely have those moments where it's like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you just have to keep going. You just have to have the faith. And as a startup magazine, it's like you know, when you guys go into creating another issue or like, how are we going to stay on, you know, how are we going to make our mark? How are we going to really make this magazine happen? It's easy to slip into fear, right? To be like, let all of those things overwhelm you. Do you guys have like a reset point, or what do you focus on? Or do you have meetings that really bring you back into focus of what this magazine is meant to do and how to make it keep working?
Definitely. I think that, you know, especially when it's time to start putting another issue together, we have meetings where we look at the issue that's just come out, what worked, what didn't. We brainstorm new ideas. I think we always have to try to stay ahead of the game. So we plan these meetings where we're saying, how can we make this a little bit better? And how can we change this up and sort of keep people guessing? We have our own style, but it's constantly got to be progressing. So when we sit and have these meetings and we have a good productive brainstorming meeting, you know, we're reminded that we have a pretty solid product. We have a very small team here, a small budget. It is a startup, but at the end of the day, like, we put out a really great product, and that's what matters. And I think that that's very fulfilling.
So true. It's really, really amazing. I love the content and the stories in it. And you know, I want to get to that with being on set with, you know, I just got to be on set with you, which was so much fun. I don't know. I always have a good time with you guys. And I think that's because it's a choice to have a good time. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course it's a massive blessing for me, but I know, you know, I was really just standing thinking, while I was on set, I'm like, this is a job for them. They work so incredibly hard. Here I am having like the best day ever. But to you, this is your daily life. You know, you're constantly thinking of staying on top of things. You're working with so many people, you're balancing everything. You know, you're thinking of what, the article is going to go along with the image, and is this image inspiring, and how is this going to affect people? There is a lot going on that people do not realize behind the scenes. And, you know, I really want to know, your life is being on set with fitness people all the time while you are chaotically busy, and sometimes you don't get to work out that day. What does that feel like? Does it ever get in your head? Does it ever feel overwhelming? Or how do you keep that in perspective, being on set with so many fit people? Because I got to be honest, I would really have to reel myself in if that was my life every single day.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, first of all, being on set is often like a workout.
Yes.
Because you're running around, you're setting up equipment, you're on your feet all day, the adrenaline's going. So I don't usually beat myself up about it on shoot
days. Yeah, that's good.
But it's true. Being in this industry can put a lot of pressure on you. It can be difficult not to turn inwards and say, well, I don't look like that. You know, I think women in general, we have difficulty dealing with shame and self-esteem. But I think we have created a product, and not just that, but a community. You know, it's beyond fitness. It's body acceptance. It's wellness. It's health. And part of that is a variety of body types and lifestyles. And not everybody works out every single day, and that's okay. I like to think, you know, this is sort of my own mantra, that we haven't created a fitness magazine. We've created a women's empowerment magazine. I'd like to think that we're carving out our own genre. And that's why I don't worry about competition, because I think that we're the only one in it. But yeah, I just try to keep that in mind. I try to do my own thing. You know, 2016 is supposed to be my year of wellness, I said. So it might not be a sole focus on fitness all the time. It might be getting 8 hours of rest. It might be, you know, listening to a great podcast that day and going for a walk and taking some time for myself. And just knowing that I'm doing those things when I'm extremely busy, to me, that's an accomplishment. And I can sort of check that off instead of beating myself up. I can look at the things that I have done that day that was a healthy habit that I made time for. It might just be that I had warm water and lemon in the morning, and the rest of the day was, you know, total madness. But yeah, it, as difficult as it can be, that's basically what I've been trying to do, at least lately. And once, you know, when things were really chaotic, sort of in my goal for 2016 is, you know, focus on the positive, focus on the accomplishments. I think that things go by so quickly and the issues come out so fast, you know, so much, I can't believe that 3 years has passed. And sometimes you forget how much you've accomplished, and like oftentimes I don't think of it as inspiring. I think of it as, you know, not a chore, but it's, oh, it's been so difficult. And really, it has been amazing. And I need to stop sometimes and just go, you know, it's not about what other people are doing, especially if I'm working with a fitness model. That's her job. It's her job to have a six pack. That's the career that she's decided for herself. This is my career, and I'm doing the best I absolutely can do.
Wow. Okay. You shared so many good things within there. And I love that this is a women's empowerment magazine, because girlfriend, you know, that is like right up my alley. I'm like, how can we create together and empower women and make them feel good no matter what? And that's another thing, is your year of wellness. Like, I think that is a lot of where I'm seeing the fitness trend going, because if you don't feel good, if you don't do the things that make you just feel good every day and relieve stress, there's no way that you can keep that six pack. Just being real, I've been in this industry long enough, and so have you, to know that, you know, you can't just stay super lean and ripped and shredded if you are not happy. Like, that is not the road to happiness. We see a lot of backfire, right? We see a lot of people dealing with a lot of different metabolic damage and just so many different things that happen if you're not paying attention to your happiness and what truly feeds your soul. So, you know, I love it. I was just looking through this last issue of Strong and reading about Molly's article, and I love that. I love that there's so many different body types in the magazine, and that so many different stories are portrayed, and that also you guys like to show a lot of the hard times, right? The hardships and how people got through, and it's really solution based. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about you guys. It's not just a magazine. I want to talk about how you have extended this into camps, and why did the camps come about, and can you tell me a little bit about them?
Sure. So when we started the magazine, actually, it wasn't called Strong Camp at the time, but the concept of a boot camp or an event that was presented by Strong was an idea that was in the works like almost before the magazine was a thing. It was just something that we really wanted to do. We felt it was something that was missing from a lot of other magazines, because the goal was to create a community, like a community that women felt they belonged to something. You know, the magazine is really just the rock in the middle of it all. But so in our very first year, we started Strong Camp. And, you know, it started out, is it a boot camp? Is it a retreat? And it's both of those things. It's a weekend of women's empowerment. It is workouts, nutrition seminars. There's always a yoga class, at least one yoga session. There are motivational speakers a lot of the time. You know, incredible amounts of bonding, and it's just been amazing. And a lot of people don't know about Strong Camp still, but what's been incredible, I've been to five or six of them now, and every time it's just so reaffirming that we're really doing something that's touching people's lives. And every time I go to Strong Camp, it's sort of like, okay, I have to go, I have to travel, I have to leave the magazine and my life, and it almost feels like a burden. And then I get there and it's like my cup was empty and now it's full and it's overfilling. And I can't wait to get back to the magazine, because these women from all walks of life come to the camp, and it's almost like they're meant to be there together. The bonds I've seen created, women sharing their stories. I mean, so many women just have come from such difficult backgrounds, and they've overcome them. And, you know, health and fitness has played a major role in their recovery. And I've seen them open up and share, you know, there's been drug abuse stories, sex abuse, and people, they feel comfortable there. And these women open up, they share their stories. And I've seen lifelong friendships begin at Strong Camp. And so it's really not about the working out. They definitely kick your butt. And I think that partially helps to bring down some walls, because you've sweat next to somebody, you've felt like throwing up next to somebody. and bonded with them that way. And then when you sit down to talk about, you know, what is Strong, what does it mean to you, people start to, those walls come down, and they really open up and bare their souls, because Strong is something different to everyone. And in sharing those stories, they're strengthening all the women around them. It's really amazing. It's really magical.
It is magical. I can vouch for that. I've been able to be at, has it been two or three? Two of them. But I will be at one. The third one is May 20th in San Diego. Yes. And I know the next one coming up is in Austin, Texas, and that is April 9th through the 10th. And the one that I will be helping host is May 20th in San Diego. And you guys can go to strong-camp.com if you want to be at that. And I just want to say everything that she said is so true. Every single one that I've been to has been really amazing. And I can tell you that I myself have made beautiful relationships with different people, and just really hearing what women are going through, having your pulse on that, like, it just reminds you that we are all the same, that we're all sharing the same challenges. And together, when we lock arms, we just get so much stronger. And that these things that we feel can sometimes, you know, are sometimes the worst things to ever happen, are some of the things that make us the strongest, and that we have a message after that, that we, you know, share with other people to help them get out of those dark times. So are you going to be at the one in San Diego?
I hope so.
I know. Got to get you to California, right?
Yeah, it always depends on what's going on here with the magazine, but I always hope to be there. I love being there. Like I said, it's just so reassuring and just so fulfilling to be there. And one thing I just wanted to mention about the camps that I love is I think a lot of people are intimidated for some reason, whether it's because it's held by a fitness magazine or they see women in the photos that are really ripped or whatever. But really, it's for all fitness levels. I mean, nobody is walking around with a whip and, you know, making you do pull-ups if you can't do them. Everybody sort of goes at their own pace. You know, the last one I went to, I had a shoulder injury, so I didn't do push-ups. You know, I did like squat jumps or something. It's more just about the togetherness and the whole vibe. And we have women from all different kinds of fitness levels and age ranges. We've had a lot of mother-daughter duos, which is just like so heartwarming, you know, sisters. And a lot of women just come by themselves. And that's one of my favorite things to see, is a woman who, you know, drove across the state to attend a camp. She doesn't even know why. I just felt like I had to be here. And I've had that conversation with so many women who've come on their own. And then once they're there, they realize that they needed to be here for a reason. Something in them said, I need to go to this camp. And, you know, most of the time it's an amazing experience for them. So that's something I really love about the camps. It's just the diversity and the variety of these incredible women that I've had the pleasure to meet.
It is all bodies, backgrounds, ages. I love that. And honestly, if people feel a little call, or if they feel like, a small curiosity around it, and then fear comes up, that's where you need to be, because that is how we grow. And these are that's your tribe. If you are feeling called to the magazine, if you're feeling called to anything around fitness, it's so beautiful because it is all background. So I love it. I know I always feel recharged. I love hearing people's stories. I love just being in that energy, because truly it has the idea of fitness, but it's about growth and bonding and connecting, I think, at the core of it. And I think that's the most beautiful part of it, is just walking away with those relationships and feeling so much stronger, and just clearing out those old stories that have been holding you back because we're not sharing with people. So yes, we hope to see you there. So Kirsten, what is your definition of strong?
You'd think I would have this rehearsed by now, because it's a conversation that comes up so often. I really think strong is knowing exactly who you are and living that life unapologetically and wholeheartedly. And that's not necessarily something you can just do. I think, you know, most of us aren't even there yet. This is all part of the journey. But when I see a woman who is truly authentic, to me, that's just so awe-inspiring. And I've had the opportunity to work with so many powerful women. It's definitely been the highlight of my career and my life so far, is the women I've been able to work with and meet. you know, like look at some of our cover athletes. There's you and Amber Dodds-White, like Holly Holm, so many different backgrounds and athleticism. And they're just truly living their authentic lives and doing what they love. And that makes them strong. And it's just really amazing. And I think, you know, for me, doing this magazine, taking a big risk, that makes me stronger every day. And then interacting with the readers, getting their feedback, seeing them at Strong Camp, that makes me a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that I'm doing what I love and what I think I was meant to do, you know, that makes me strong. So I guess that's my rambling definition. Mm-hmm. But
no, I love that because, you know what, I think it always changes because it changes with what's coming up in our life, right? So, and I also love that you talked about risk because I would love for you just to elaborate on a little bit about just periods in your life around risk. Like what has risk brought into your life?
That's a good question. Well, I think it proves to you what you're capable of. You know, that fear is really just a mindset. We have an article on strongfitnessmag.com right now about practices for obliterating fear. Mm-hmm. And what it says is, you know, that unless you're trying to get away from a bear or an earthquake or something, like fear is really sort of useless to you. It's standing in your way unless you're overcoming it, you know, to make yourself stronger. So I think the risks that have come up, you know, particularly this is one of the biggest risks I've ever taken was starting a magazine. It just proves to you what you're capable of. And
No, it's beautiful. It's so true because I think that other people don't think that, you know, maybe you or I or these women that they look at don't have fear. And it's not that we don't, it's that we understand that it's a feeling that is accompanied with anything new and anything that maybe our heart is calling us to. And you kind of just learn to function with it because I don't know about you, but it doesn't go away from me.
No, absolutely not. And I think people may think, oh, it's just a magazine. It's just a piece of paper. It's this, you know, frivolous item, an object. But I mean, every issue I'm putting myself out there, that's, mm-hmm. My hardest work, my best effort. And then, you know, I have an editorial in the front. So there's my picture and my words, and you're just putting yourself out there constantly and, you know, doing this podcast or what we write on social media. You know, it might not be me specifically, but I now identify with this brand. And, when you're just constantly putting yourself out there, just opening yourself up to criticism and backlash, especially in a society that is just like loving criticism right now. Mm. It feels like it's constant risk taking. It really is.
Mm. So for those people who have not yet put themselves out there, is it worth it?
Oh, absolutely. You can always change course, right?
Always. Mm-hmm. I always think that people who are so scared of putting themselves out there because of criticism don't understand the reward that comes with it. And if they did, they would be all over it. They'd be putting anything out there. I'm always so excited with every podcast because as much as it scares me, it's such a creative release for us. And it's such a way to connect. So, you know, even if I'm super nervous for a podcast or to interview someone, I'm like, oh, I know it's going to be good because I'm really nervous.
Exactly.
So, okay. So I want to, cause I know that, people are going to see your name and want to listen in, and especially it's going to be an audience of maybe women who are wanting to get into fitness, or maybe it's people who want to write for a magazine, or maybe it's people who want to get into a magazine to inspire other people. What would you tell someone that wants to contribute, to a magazine for articles? What would you say to them to focus on?
Are we talking specifically about Strong or in general?
In general, but yes, if people wanted to contribute to Strong or in general to any magazine, if they are, you know, we're in your situation writing, where do they start or what should they focus on?
Well, we, you know, personally at Strong have a submissions email account. It's submissions@strongfitnessmag.com. Awesome. Where you can send pitches, my advice would be to specialize in something. Don't just reach out to a magazine and say, oh, I'm a personal trainer, I'm an expert, I can write about something if you want to give me an article. I think it's really important to hone your skill set and then show it when you approach them, because we're constantly, I get more emails about I want to contribute to Strong than anything else. And very few of them catch my attention because there's nothing unique about it. Like, show the editor what you can do for them. Show that you understand their brand, that you understand their editorial voice and their audience. And then give them an idea that they haven't thought of yet, or a twist on an old idea. And I think that's really the best way to get into contributing. In terms of modeling, I mean, that's a whole different beast. The fitness modeling industry is fairly competitive. At Strong, I mean, we're looking for a breadth of body types and ages. And really, we're just looking for someone with something, you know, a spark, something a little bit different, something to offer that will inspire people. And it's, you know, something that's a little bit beyond just like a great body or great glutes, something that inspires, that's just a little outside the box.
I love that. And thank you for sharing that, because I think it's going to really clarify for a lot of people and give them a path, because I get asked all the time, how do you do it? Or can you connect me with people? Or, you know, this is what I want to do. And look at me, I just won this competition. And that is great. That is so exciting. And that is definitely a step in the direction of a dream. But I will tell you, I was that person who was like, well, what about this? I just did this and this contest, and I'm in shape right now, and I'm a personal trainer and whatever this, you know, whatever I had going on at the time. And it took me a while to learn, you know, I was in my mid 20s. It took me a while to learn that I just needed to do what I loved to do in fitness. And that is to inspire and motivate people in the best possible way that I can through my zone of genius, whatever that is. So it's about creating that community and really having that community follow you for whatever reason that is, and do what you love within that community and show the magazine or show people that you're already doing it, that you're inspiring these people through this, way, or you've really found that this is working in it's finding things that work and showing them why it works and what's inspiring and what's different. And I think that's really important. Otherwise, it is just another, you know, I think we have to view it, and I think it's okay for me to say this, but it's a business. And it's also, you have to sell the magazine in order to, it has to inspire people. It has to spark people. So I love that you said that. Because I try to share that with people, right? Just to find something that works for them. So any last tips for people who are really trying to either start a career in fitness modeling or in journalism or in writing?
Like you said, just do what you love. Find that one thing that you're really obsessed with and just make that your expertise. I mean, everyone out there trying to do that, I think everybody who submits to us probably does have something special to offer, but you do need to go that extra step to show it. And that's what I'm looking for when I'm reading through submissions or pitches. It's just somebody who took the time to say, you know, dear Kirsten Brown, I love the magazine Strong, and here's an article that I think that would be a great fit for it and your audience because of this. And that's really, and it's sort of the same, I guess, when you're submitting as a model. Send photos that fit the brand. Our brand, I like to think, isn't like any other out there. We don't really do the smiley, pretty fitness. It's a little bit grittier. It's a little edgier. It's far more real. And so those are the images that we're looking for and the kind of women we're looking for. You know, can you pull that off? Of course you can, because you do it in the gym every day. So take photos of it and, you know, do something that's real, not something that's transparent.
That's so, thank you for that information. And I know that people are going to be super, super excited for the clarity, because a lot of people are just looking for a path and a road. So, okay, I am super excited because I just got to go up and spend time with you guys and shoot with you. And then my favorite was actually just being able to hang out and talk to you guys afterward, because it's really just a great thing to be a part of, because it's a it's such a passion for you guys that you live it and you breathe it, and you're getting great information out to people, and you're passionate about being the best, and you are. So I'm very excited because I'm going to be in the which month issue is it?
So you, Lori Harder, are appearing in our May June issue, which will be on newsstands hopefully the first week of May. And because we're bi-monthly, we'll be on stands for the 2 months. So we have an incredible feature with you. As you know, we worked you very hard that day.
I loved it.
I'm not going to give too much away. I'll leave the feature as a surprise, but it's something a little different. And I think some invaluable information for busy fit women out there trying to cram in all their workouts. So you'll be appearing in the May-June issue. And I have here a special promo code.
Yay!
For the listeners of your podcast specifically, we have an exclusive discount promo code for them so that they can subscribe. I should mention that the cutoff date is April 10th, so they must subscribe before April 10th in order to begin their one-year subscription with your issue.
Okay, so April 10th is the last day that you can use this promo code, and they have to go to
strongfitnessmag.com/subscription.
Okay. And then the promo code is
Strong and Happy 20. Strong and Happy, all one word, and the number 20.
Awesome. So Strong and the word and is spelled out because I had to ask that one. So Strong and Happy 20. And it's strongfitnessmag.com/subscription. Oh my gosh, that is so awesome of you to offer that. And I hope you guys subscribe, because it is such a, I don't know, it's a shot of inspiration whenever I get my Strong magazine in the mail. I cannot wait to just consume the entire thing. And I usually read it 2 or 3 times. So
thank you.
It's something that I think people need to seek out inspiration, and I do it in every form possible. Like you said, you know, podcasts and books and magazines and pictures and whatever that is, you know, there's so many stories shared in there that it's like, find someone that resonates with you or who's on that path and follow in their footsteps, because success leaves clues, and they're sharing all the tips and information and the mindset. And that's why I think this is so important. Like you said, a women's empowerment magazine, it's about the mindset of what it takes to be happy or to be in good shape or fit and in part of a community. And that's what you guys are sharing, is a strong community. So I'm super excited about that. So last questions before we wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
If you were on an elevator and you only have 30 seconds to tell someone what they need to do in order to be happy or what to follow, what would you say?
30 seconds.
That's it.
Just do you.
Amen. That's perfect. And isn't that the truth? Just do you. That is perfect. All right.
Also say get lots of sleep, because I think you'll find the difference between 6 hours and 8 hours.
Is
a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And you'll actually be more productive, and then you'll get to your goals faster, and you'll be happier faster. I'm all about sleep right now.
You're my spirit animal, because I don't know if you know, but I am like psycho about sleep. I'm like, no, nobody touches my sleep, because otherwise I'm a different person. Like literally I am it's not good. So, so I love that you're focusing on sleep too. Okay. What's your favorite food?
My favorite all time food.
Sure.
All of it.
Again, like spirit animal.
Yeah, I guess like my favorite meal would probably be like a perfectly cooked, really expensive steak and fries.
That's perfect.
And wine.
Are they truffled fries?
Sure.
That sounds good. Okay.
Bring them on.
All right. I am so grateful that you came on the podcast. This was so much fun to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's this has been so much fun.
Oh, good.
Anytime.
All right. Well, don't say anytime. I'll have you on again very soon. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And everyone, if you loved this podcast and you got any bits of information or you know anybody who could use a shot of inspiration, please make sure that you share it. And until next time, make sure you do something to make yourself proud and earn your happy. Bye-bye. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.